Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 152 of Nerd Pride Radio. 152, the runtime in minutes of West Side Story and The Dark Knight. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me.
How are you doing?
I am awesome, Noah. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd plus. There's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week is Kubo and both of his strings. We just saw the movie last night. It was really good. You guys, seriously. Seriously, good movie. And I did not realize that it was really a full stop-motion film. I assumed it was stop-motion but supplemented with CGI and this kind of stuff. No, there's the – when the giant is – I can't even tell you. I haven't seen the movie, but I'm just going to tell you. When you're in there and you see the giant in battle, that's actually a real – in real life, like an 11-foot-tall stop-motion animation figure. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I recommend Kubo. It was very well done. Anyway, let's go right to my show. Updates. My first update, my only update, is Beneath Nexus is fully funded. They just hit. So congratulations to Tom and Chris over at Silver Clutch Games for getting Beneath Nexus funded. I am so happy to be a part of that. I got to play it. I can't wait to get a full copy of this game. So exciting. So if you guys want, by the time you listen to this, if you're listening Monday morning, there's like 2 days left on the Kickstarter. So if you want to be in on this first batch, it's fully funded. You can go in and pledge, and you are guaranteed to get a copy of this game. So I highly recommend it. Get in there and help them make their stretch goals. All right. Now it would normally be time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast, the time where I go about whatever stuff I've written down in my little master list all week long. And I do have a whole host of stuff written down in my master list. But I kind of screwed up. I went out and I started my listener betrayal stuff, and now it is over 2 hours later and I'm just sitting down to record. So I believe I have a lot of listener betrayal out there. Now, part of the gimmick was I was putting in there that I wasn't going to stop recording until Kaz finally got to post in listener betrayal, and I don't know if he's in there yet or not, so we may have to work out some weird stuff for the end of this show. But because of that, I'm going to skip my meticulously plotted portion because I'm hoping to have a lot of listener betrayal to fill out the end of the show. And instead, we're going to go straight to the Pod-O-Matic. That's right. R2 is back. Hot dog. This is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, or beginning in this case, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. Where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. If you want to hear me haver on about something, you send me your question by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list. Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. Yeah, R2 is back. Just magically appeared. No note, no explanation, nothing, but I'm glad to have R2 back. And he appears to be no worse for the wear. So, I mean, there's some scuff marks and stuff, but I'm pretty sure I already did that myself because, apparently, my wife is R2's confidant. Why can't you talk to me, R2? Seriously. And, she reports that, yeah, he's seen things, horrible things, things that can't be unseen. But who cares? He's back now and he's rolling up topics for me. That's all that matters, right? All right. So the first number I have is 65. All right. Number 65. I've got the list ready. Yeah, there I do. Okay. Number 65. Oh, it's from my wife, Lisa. Oh, good. I can always trust her to class up the joint here. My wife, Lisa, says, describe your last fart using a movie title. Oh, that is classy. Fast and Furious? You got any, Noah? Noah? Think about it. Gone with the Wind?
Inside Out.
Inside Out. Oh, that's terrible. Terrible! Dark Water. I got nothing. Nothing. That was four with Noah's help. 02. 02 comes from... Let's see. Oh, there it is. It's from Master. Master says, what is your earliest memory? My earliest memory is being 2 years old, and I don't know which order these two memories go in. I actually have several. I know the house I lived in when I was two. I remember the house pretty well. I remember the block we lived on, that kind of stuff. So I have vivid pictures of those. But either it is the memory of the neighborhood kids making fun of me because I didn't know how to whistle, which I can't whistle because I have a cleft palate. It's not my fault. What is wrong with those bullies? Ugh. But they made fun of me, and I was Mikey back then. So when I tried to whistle and couldn't, they then made fun of me by chanting Mikey can thithle over and over and over, and that was terrifying. But then the other memory of living in that house is – apparently one of the other kids in our neighborhood had been peeing in his garbage can in his room at night. And so my parents came to me and I can't even remember how they phrased the question, but they were like trying to talk to me about it. And they're like, you know, you're not supposed to do something like that, right? And even at two, I remember thinking to myself, I would never have thought of that except that you just told me about it. I mean, no, of course I'm not going to pee in my garbage can, but why would you even plant that idea in my head? I don't get it. So that was weird. So those are my two earliest memories. I think the whistling one is the earliest. I'm pretty sure it is. Okay, Noah, what was your first memory?
My first memory was getting my stuffed animal, Jamie the walrus, from Waterlands or something. And he was me.
How old were you then?
Three.
I think that was at SeaWorld in Texas.
Yeah.
And why did you name it Jamie?
Because it looked like Jamie the Mythbuster with its mustache.
And you were a big fan of Mythbusters when you were three?
Well, Aiden was, and he was the one who gave me the name idea.
Awesome. Very cool. All right. 09. 09, yeah, my wife can't share any of her earliest memories because her computer was just updated this week, and now Excel does not work at all like it did just a week ago. So she's a little frustrated over there. So if you guys could just kind of keep it down a bit, we'll try not to disturb her. 09 is from my brother Kyle. And Kyle says, how awesome is DM Darks? Pretty awesome, yeah. I'm with you, man. So awesome. And Kyle says, right? But seriously, let's say he died, like horribly, like really painful. And then you were allowed to replace him with any DM from history, living or dead, except you can't pick DM Darks. Who do you pick? Monty Cook? Gary Gygax? Vin Diesel? No, I would want to hang with Will Wheaton and Chris Hardwick. That's what, and Felicia Day. Put the three of them together in a room. I don't care which one of them is the DM for me. I would take any of those three, and then it would imply that the other two get to hang out with us. And it would be super awesome. Yeah, that was an easy one, man. We'd have a sweet memorial for DM Darks. I'm sure everyone would miss him terribly. But come on. Will Wheaton, Felicia Day, Chris Hardwick? I mean, seriously. All right, 43. 43 comes from... Oh, I missed it. I'm bad at this game. Oh, there we go. 43 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, why hasn't Kyle finished book 3 yet? Oh, well, that's easy. 'Cause he doesn't care about us, the readers. My brother Kyle, for those of you who don't know, has written two amazing novels in his Norns Quest series. And, I mean, they are spectacular. And he's been working on the third one for ages and ages. I mean, like, what's it been here, George R. R. Martin? Yeah, seriously, a dozen years since last installment? It's been a long time. And so we're all a little anxious for it. Look, he's got a new podcast. He's got eight kids. He's a busy lawyer. He has lots of things to do in his life. He can't be spending every free moment writing a book for us. I mean,
wait,
seriously.
Kyle's a lawyer?
Yes, yes, your Uncle Kyle is a lawyer. That's what he does for a living.
I didn't know.
I know. It seems like he just sits around and does nothing all day, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Weird. So, yes, he's been a lawyer for, well, longer than you've been alive. So, and from what I understand, he's pretty good at it, too. Well, but, I mean, of course, that's just his report. So, I guess, really, I mean, take that for what it's worth, right? All right. Yeah, and I don't know. He says he's, what, a third of the way, a halfway through the third book? I don't remember exactly. He keeps giving me excuses. Whatever. But whenever it does come out, I'm sure it will be spectacular because I loved the first two. They were awesome. And that is 99. 99 takes us to... Oh, there it is. It's from Master. Master says, I am looking for an item at work that is eluding me. Where is it? All right. Do you see that? Hold on. My wife has an answer. Let's find out from her first. Oh, that's good. She's probably right. That's a better answer than mine. All right. She says it's the bottom desk drawer. It has slid all the way to the back. All right. And it's actually gotten wedged behind. So it's kind of like halfway underneath the drawer. You're going to have to pull the whole drawer out in order to get this out of there. I'm sorry. If it's not there, my suggestion was, you know, that stack of papers that you keep up at the top corner of your desk. It's like right behind that, between that and your monitor stand. So that's it. Yeah?
I pulled that drawer out once.
Yeah?
The bottom drawer when I got this new desk.
And?
It was a hand-me-down desk. And there was stuff underneath that drawer from like the 70s.
Oh my God.
It was like my students' parents that were older, like...
That's amazing. My wife teaches. And yeah, she said when she got her desk, I'm going to try and jack up the volume on that. But just in case, you guys couldn't hear it. Yeah, she found stuff underneath that desk drawer that were like 20 years old from the parents of the students she was teaching at the time. So, stuff from the 70s. Yeah, imagine that. So, that's actually a really good idea. You should check there.
It was probably the 80s.
Yeah, maybe.
I was
the 18. 18 says, oh, where is it? There it is. 18 is from Master again. Oh, Master says, how awesome is Goku?
Pretty awesome.
What?
Goku's pretty awesome with his spirit ball.
Yeah, I don't watch that. I've never seen it. I mean, I know who Goku is. I know a lot about it, but I've never actually watched it. Okay. So, Noah, you can answer a question for us then.
Mm-hmm.
Who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman?
Superman, because Goku fighting...
He's eating chips at the same time. You'll have to forgive him.
Goku fighting the kryptonite Superman would easily win. But Goku likes a fair fight, so he wouldn't use the kryptonite on Superman, thus Superman would win.
All right, see? Look, if Noah says it, it's got to be true. Sorry, dude. And that's 29. 29 comes from... Oh, there it is. It's from Zimny. Zim says, do you have a favorite way to lace your shoes? There's tons of neat ways to do it. No, not really. I start from the bottom and I lace them up to the top and then I tie them.
Yeah.
You could, and, you know, I prefer as they come up as you go to each pass, you start underneath and then pull them up through the hole. But you know, it can go either way. I could really care less. So, no, nothing special. 61. I don't know how to read dice.
60. Now let me handle the dice.
Yeah, you really should. That's from Ronster. And Ron says, what music do you listen to when you feel down? Is there a particular song? No, I go to my main playlist of my favoritist songs, and I just listen to them, because most of the stuff on my favoritist list is really upbeat and high energy and peppy. I mean, even
favoritist a word?
Yes, favoritist is a word. Oh, grammar Nazi. And and so even the songs that I listen to that are depressing, that have depressing content in them, like 98% of what you listen to on Real Big Fish, they're all still really upbeat and poppy and happy. And so, like I say, I listen to a lot of high energy stuff no matter what. So my mood really doesn't play into what songs I'm listening to, honestly. I don't know. Maybe I'm weird that way, because I know that there's lots of people that their song list varies by what's going on and how they're feeling and this kind of stuff. But nah, not me. I generally just pop in the favorite list, and eventually I get tired of it. And so I run through it and I throw away half the songs, and I sort through the rest of my albums and pull out some new ones to listen to. It's just, I don't know. It's always the same list, though, ultimately. So, for what that's worth.
Fighting Trousers is mine.
Yeah, Fighting Trousers, that's his favorite song. And I'm with you, dude. Fighting Trousers is the best. It's really
I don't like your tweets, sir.
That's good.
I handle the dice.
Oh, sorry, 89. You're right, you do handle the dice. You just weren't handling them fast enough. 89 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, choose your power. The ability to heal others and cure diseases just by thinking about it, meaning you don't have to be in the same place as them, or the ability to stop time, fly, be immortal, teleport, and be invisible.
Heal others whatever I want.
Yeah, you gotta do that one, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, the rest of it's just selfish. I mean,
yeah, it's like saying, all right, it's either you help those that need help, or be greedy and take all the power for yourself.
Yeah, that seems like a no-brainer. You want to give me one more die? And this is our 10th one, I think, so this will be the last one.
No,
51.
One more!
We'll see. We'll see how long this one takes us. We got a lot of listener betrayal to do, dude. 51 is also from Kyle. And also from Kyle says, Prince died and everyone said it was too soon. But was it? Were we really going to get any more mind-blowing songs or performances from him? Is that all you care about people for, is what they can create for you? Oh, my God. Look, I mean, if that were true, I mean, you know, if you were to die today, it's not like you're ever going to finish that book. I mean, seriously, you know. I mean, really? What else were we going to get from you? I mean, you've already produced all the kids you're going to make, right? Man, you are so selfish. Selfish, Kyle. Yeah, you wouldn't have picked the healing, would you? You would have picked all the selfish powers. I know you. Prince dying was too soon and very sad. He had a lot of years left in him. Who knows what he would have done?
He's like 59.
And even if he didn't do anything else in his public life ever for the rest of his life, well then, okay, you know what? He earned a long retirement and the ability to just enjoy himself and be with family and friends until the end of his days. That was entirely his prerogative. So yeah, too soon. Definitely too soon. Okay, that's the last one. 59. 59 is also from Kyle. All right. Kyle says, when Nana sang that 99 Red Balloon song, was Daniel's the 100th balloon? Is that why you thought of him and let it go? You son of a bitch. Stop that now. Go. Yes. Yes. That was, and the timing's pretty good on that one, too. When I let the balloon go inside the house, it sank. Okay? I took it up. I even took it up to the balcony, the indoor balcony. I threw it over the edge, and the thing very slowly but surely sank all the way to the floor. So therefore, very clearly, this balloon is going to sink. So when I took it outside and I said, hey, Daniel, watch this, and I threw it in the air, it should have sank and landed on the grass in our front yard. Apparently, I didn't know much about aerodynamics and wind power and all of this, and did not realize quite the lift it was going to get from even slight breezes, and that sucker disappeared, and I feel horrible. And you're a bad man for continuing to bring it up. Bad man. Okay, that. I don't think they could hear that. Okay, now that really is the last one. 91. 91 comes from Zimny. Cindy says, what is your favorite shade of black? I don't believe
in nothingness.
Yeah. My soul. I don't believe in shades of black. Black is black.
Nice try, though.
And anything that makes a shade of black is really just some kind of dark gray. So I would love to get all existential about it, but I can't. I got nothing on that one. So, no, we're really done, dude. We're really done. Okay, that's the last one. No.
99.
It's 99. We already did that one. Here, one more. All right, 11. Now, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. No more. All right, you're as bad as Aiden. Says, how many living creatures... Oh, this is from Kyle. How many living creatures have you personally disposed of, and how did you dispose of them? Okay, that depends on what you mean, because I've never disposed of a living creature. I always dispose of them after they're dead. So, I mean, do you want to know how many creatures I've actually...
Murdered!
Killed? I mean, you know, are we talking bugs and
their soul.
And rodents and stuff like this? I mean, I've never...
And human beings?
I mean, I don't think I've ever been responsible intentionally for the death of anything. Well, no, the deer. I killed the deer with the car. And
Mom,
yes, Lisa.
Nice with cancer.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I did have to kill the one mouse. It was a baby mouse, and it was ill, and the other mice were just tearing it apart anyway, and yet it was still alive. And oh, it was so sad. It was so sad. And yeah, I had to put him down. But that one, I drowned him. But the deer I hit with the car, and there's been any number of, you know, small birds and small mammals that I maybe have hit with the car at different times. But then, you know, like pets, are you talking about, because when you say disposed of living creatures, are you talking like having to get rid of the bodies of pets after they die? Because, you know, we buried a couple of the guinea pigs, but then after that, they mostly just get wrapped up and thrown away. So, you know, we've had animals that we've taken to the vet and had them put down, and we allow them to dispose of the body.
Let's get rid of the body before the...
This is a creepy question. Let's do one more. Oh, whoops. Hold on. He's turned off because I didn't want you ringing them up again. Here, let's do one more. That's a depressing question. What's the number?
20.
Okay. 20 is also from Kyle. What is the hardest you've laughed in the last week? Huh. That is a great question. In the last week? I think it's been, maybe it's been slightly longer than a week, but I'm going to say Sausage Party. I hate to admit this, but I laughed a lot listening to Sausage Party. It's a bad movie, and it's a flawed movie. With all sorts of, there's some sexism in there, a lot of sexism, and there's some racism in there, and that's pretty bad. But then there's also some really funny parts, and I laughed really hard at those, so that was pretty good. But, okay, actually, one of the funniest moments of the last week, and I'm telling this story. No, you brought it up. I get to tell the story. Well, you want to come over here and tell your side of it? Well, it wasn't. All right. It's funny in the retelling, because we've told this story to many people. We're in bed, about to fall asleep. My wife's already asleep, and I'm watching Futurama, and it is one of the movies, the Futurama movies from that weird season when that they did everything in four parties. And there is a scene where, Zoidberg,
Throws up a duck.
I mean, you hear, you know, well, first he threw up like a bucket of, what, fish or something like that?
He threw up from his freshwater and saltwater stomachs.
There you go, freshwater and saltwater stomachs.
And then all Mom hears is,
yeah, so wait, let me tell this story. I'm sorry, but you don't tell it as well. And so as I'm laying here watching and Zoidberg is throwing up, and on the second one it's quack, and because he threw up a duck. And my wife, who is, I thought, completely asleep, without opening her eyes, just goes, did somebody just throw up a duck? I was so impressed. I was like, yes, yes, somebody did just throw up a duck. I was so amazed at her perceptual skills there. So, yeah, she doesn't watch Futurama because she's a godless communist. That's just how things go. So hold on just a second. Hold on. Stop it. No, 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 no. No more Podomatic. You're done. There, I've turned it off. I'm keeping it out of your reach. And now it is time for GLaDOS to take over. And she will give us a recap of this week's episode. Go on, GLaDOS.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye? And you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2016 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week, I didn't do any because I didn't have a meticulously plotted portion of my podcast. Let's see. Hold on, see, now I have to roll the credits down to get to the rest of it. Let's see. Oh, you want to do something nice for this podcast? Recommend it to your friends. If you enjoy it, spread the word. Let other people enjoy it as well. Word of mouth, people. It's my bread and butter. This podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network. Along with this one, we have The Cast and the Curious, Angry Geeks Versus, and Me Like Trivia. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerd people. Check them all out. You guys will love them. Remember, I'm always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions or topics. Don't forget to send me questions or topics for the Podomatic. Watch every week on the forums and Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me. Save me all of that grueling, grueling research. My contact info, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there. Send me a message. We will hang out together. Become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording every podcast, I go out to sometimes way, way before. I go out to Facebook and to my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, and I post out that I'm recording. Anyone who comments up on those threads gets included right here at the end of the podcast, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. So starting off with Facebook, the first one is from Sarah Beth. Sarah Beth says, hi, Mike and Noah. How are you doing today?
Good.
Me too. Very well. When can I expect to watch some Dr. Noah? Uh-oh.
We can't do episode 2, so we might not do it ever again.
Well, we can. Oh, we've got episode 2. All the recording's been done, and I'm just an asshole. I need to get on that.
Well,
I tried again.
Old memory's deleted.
No, it's not. I have copies of all the files over here. Yes, I have copies. Oh, see here, he's been all gracious to me thinking that it was on the other computer and it got wiped out. No, I have copies of all of it, and I tried getting it edited and failed miserably. I need different software again, and I've given you guys these excuses before. It's just a matter of me not getting off my butt and getting it done. So I need to go get it done, because Dr. Noah here is brilliant and funny and awesome, and I need to do it.
Stupid.
Well, you are horrible and stupid, but I have to encourage you because you're my son. So I have to pretend that you're talented. All right. Next is also from Sarah Beth. And Sarah Beth says, also, how freaking awesome is Nelly? Oh, Nelly is so awesome. So much fun.
I don't know.
Yeah, you've never met Nelly. Maybe someday. Someday. When do you get to go? You get to go to Gen Con in 6 years.
No.
Yeah, when you're 16. So
I'm 6.
All right. Well, close enough. In a few years. Next one's from Kyle. Kyle says, what kind of engines you running in your vehicles, and what do you think your chances are against my Chevy Sonic on the quarter mile? All right.
Slim to none.
Yeah, I don't know, and probably not good. Look, better question. How much you bench? Yeah, see, that's all I got, man. I have absolutely nothing on cars and engines. I can do basic maintenance, but I still need my owner's manual to tell you what I actually have in there. I have no idea. So I'm sure something lame, something that is – I mean, I have no idea how powerful your Chevy Sonic is. For all I know, you've just offered up a lame vehicle. I have no idea. See, I could look it up, but I'm not gonna. And then Kyle says, do you see how easy it is to ask questions? Is that really so hard? Oh, you are so, so sad. Listen, for what it's worth, if you guys want to get that joke, go listen to The Cast and the Curious. That's my brother's podcast that he does with his children. He has one kid on as a guest host each week, and it looks like it's rotating between Gabe and Ava and Max, and they're all awesome in their own way. But this last episode that just came out, episode 4, was one with Gabe, and it was magical. All right. Every episode of this show, they pick one character from The Fast and the Furious, the original first movie, because none of the other movies exist. And they pick one character from that movie, and then they analyze that character's actions, their role in the movie, everything about them, and then talk about the actor that played that character. And then they have some, you know, questions from listeners and stuff like this. And this episode with Gabe, this last one, it featured the character of Edwin's Babe, the last credited character on the entire movie. Last credited character listed only as Edwin's Babe, and she is a character who gets 3 seconds of screen time and no lines. And they devoted an entire episode to her, and it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. This was the kind of back and forth. This is the kind of stuff that this is where the magic of this show happens. And I absolutely adored it. It was wonderful. So super cool. And dude, I'm working on the questions. I've sent you a whole bunch more emails, and I know you guys record kind of ahead. So, you know, I'll be a little behind on stuff, but I think I'm getting it down. All right. I think I've got this process mastered. So hopefully my next emails will be a lot better and more conducive to what you guys are looking for. It'll be awesome. All right. And then that's the end of Listener Betrayal on Facebook. But let me go on over to my website, which I think.
Or Twitter.
No, I don't do Twitter. I give people the Twitter address, but then I don't actually ever go to Twitter. I mean, like once every 2 or 3 weeks I go check it. So, all right, here we go. And should I post in to close this? No, I'll wait. I'll wait because there's 2 pages worth of material here, so I might as well get through the first page before I shut it down. I don't even know if Kaz has replied yet. So, here on my website at nerdprideradio.com/nerds.
Well, it won't appear until you're online. So
The first one is from Ronster. And Ron says, Mike, have you watched The Fast and the Furious yet? No, I have not. It is the least you can do to support your brother's podcast. No, the least I could do would be not listening to it and not telling you guys about it. That would be the least I could do. This is just the second least. And then Ronster continues on and says, I saw the movie Friday night just so I could listen to The Cast and the Curious in its entirety, which is what you will be doing any day now, right? No, that's the magic of this show, is I don't need to watch The Fast and the Furious to really enjoy what's going on here. I mean, trust me, they started off with the main character in the first episode. Brian? Was his name Brian? See, I don't even remember now. I'm waiting for Dom. I'm waiting for the Dom episode because that'll give us, that'll fill in all the holes in this movie that maybe we haven't heard about yet. But I know enough about the movie now from their description, and it's not relevant. It's not relevant at all. I've always said, any radio show, any podcast is less about the actual content and way more about the chemistry between the hosts. All right, I listened to Car Talk back when both of them were alive. Still occasionally listen to Car Talk. And I love Car Talk because those guys were awesome together. All right, they had a spectacular chemistry and they were wonderful on the mic, and I could care less about cars. I know nothing about cars. I've already talked to that. And yet that show was amazing, all right? And same thing here. Is that even if you've never seen The Fast and the Furious, and I haven't, I enjoy the crap out of that show. It is so good, all right? Next up is from Ronster. And Ronster says, Paranoia is great, but quite worrying when you have to wait and wonder if your spam filter has blocked a vital email. So tell me, when can we expect new emails from the Game Master? All right. The pattern is generally twice a week, and it's usually Tuesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. That's usually when the new posts come out. However, if anything's going on, like Gen Con, I might wind up taking a week off. Or, like this week, if I had three cars that all needed to be repaired this week, I was just overwhelmed. I had to take a day off to go get some stuff fixed, and I had things to do, and it just wound up being too busy. Or sometimes, like I say, days just get weird. This week I didn't get one until the end of the week. It just happens. What I hear you saying is that I should really be better about notifying you guys every couple of days about when posts are coming up so that you know you haven't missed anything. Man, that would be really nice of me if I did it. Maybe I'll take that into consideration and start trying that, because I know how horrible that is, wondering what's going on. Did I just miss it? Am I dead now? I have no idea. Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? I'll try and work on that. Then from Ronster, which board games are you looking to purchase or receive as gifts this year? Did you play any of them at Gen Con? Well, I'm already purchasing Beneath Nexus, as I've told you. They should be charging my credit card for that any day now that they've been fully funded. So I assume that they'll start doing that after it closes in a couple of days. So Beneath Nexus is going to be awesome. And let's see. I'm really hoping to get Secret Hitler at some point, maybe as a gift sometime. I'm looking forward to that one. And what else am I looking forward to getting? I mean, I'll take anything. You know me. In any game at all would be awesome. But those are the two probably right off the top of my head that I'm most looking forward to, for what that's worth. Let's see. Next up is – oh, it's from Ronster. Ron says, you have been given a 4-day membership to Dragon Con this year. Ah, this again? All right. Free hotel room at the convention, free airfare to the con. The only stipulation is you must cosplay all 4 days, each day wearing a different costume from a different fandom. Will you go? And if so, what will you cosplay as? All right, if you're going to require me to have 4 different cosplays, that is already more expensive than the cost of the con. Yes, very nice that they're paying for my airfare and hotel room and my admission and all of that. But if you want to do a costume right, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that. A lot. But let's assume I have the ability to get my costumes for free, and have someone who is way more talented than I am actually make them for me. So Sarah Beth could do that for me. She's a costumer. She can do that. And in that case, man, that is rough. I probably going to be Captain Hammer for one of those. You got to remember, in all of these situations, I am the fat version of whatever character they have, I have referred to myself as a huge fat guy many, many times on this podcast. And so much so that when Sarah Beth met me, she went, well, okay, I was expecting you to be a huge fat guy. All right. Yeah. No, I get it. Look, I'm tall, broad shoulders. I am, the way I carry my weight, I definitely look like I'm overweight. There's no doubt about that, but I don't look quite as fat as I make myself out to be. And I get that. All right. But I am technically, according to the doctor's charts, 110 pounds overweight. So, take that for what it's worth. Now, according to where I think I ought to be, I'm actually about 70 pounds overweight. But still, that still is enough to mean that I'm going to be the fat version of whatever I'm going to be. So, for example, first Gen Con we went to, we saw Fat Captain America. That guy was awesome. He had a super detailed costume. He had obviously put a lot of love into this. And great costume with the leather helmet, and he's got all the belts and straps, and he's got a shield that was just dead on. It was beautiful. And the guy happened to be kind of portly. And so we referred to him as Fat Captain America. But just because he's Fat Captain America does not mean he wasn't a great Captain America, because we loved him. I got my picture with him that year, and we got a picture with him again the next year, or the next time I went, I had a picture of him with Jacob. Because I love that guy and I love his costume. I thought he did great. So, yeah.
Would you still watch the next movie if he was playing Captain America in that costume that he has?
Oh, my God. Oh, God. If I could get Fat Captain America in a movie, that would be pretty cool. I mean, except that the only way they'd do it is if they did it as a comedy, and they would make fun of him for being fat. And so I wouldn't watch that. But I would love to see superheroes with more common body types than you need a physical trainer, blah blah blah, to get that type of body sort of thing that we see all the time. I think it would be interesting to see superheroes that looked more like everybody else. That would be fascinating. I would watch something like that. But again, not if it's just gonna, if they're just gonna get a Chris Farley type out there in a superhero costume so they can make fun of him. That's not really the style I would be going for that. But
this is part of this question.
Okay, what's part of this question?
Would you still watch it if it was like 25% of the jokes were about him being fat, but it was still a serious movie, like Captain America Civil War?
No. I don't think I would enjoy that very much at all. I mean, I could see some commentary, because obviously you've got to make some commentary that this is not the Captain America that you're used to. But it also shouldn't stop him from being a competent superhero, whether it's Captain America or somebody else. For example, look, the movie Spy with Melissa McCarthy. Spy, I thought, was a hysterical movie and incredibly respectful. And I liked seeing her. Look, she was awkward. She was awkward and doofy and weird in her own way, but ultimately a competent character. And she had her strengths and her weaknesses, and also incredibly funny. An incredibly funny movie without having to rely on pratfalls and, being a fat slob and that kind of stuff. It can be done. Yeah. Or the fact that, the humor didn't have to rely on, oh my God, a woman trying to be James Bond, and, not just a woman, but Melissa McCarthy, who is not the traditional, action hero type. And she played it off really well. And it was a really funny movie. I enjoyed the crap out of it. So, all right. But that's not answering his question. His question is, what am I going to cosplay as? So, I'm going to go as Fat Captain Hammer. And then I might double up on the Nathan Fillion and do Fat Captain Mal, to tell you the truth. Although I wouldn't mind going as Fat Jane, or even for that matter, Fat Wash, but Wash is not quite as distinctive. And again, depending on the costume skills I have around me, I'd like to be recognized when I get in there. Let's see. Or do both of those count as the same fandom because they're both Whedonverse? Oh, that's really hard. I don't know. Let's see. What else? Okay. Then the third one would be Steven Universe. Obviously the grown-up version of Steven Universe. But I could get myself a wig. And I mean, look, the shirt and pants are really easy. I would even have my shirt pulled up so you could see the gem mounted in my belly all day. And of course I'm keeping the beard. So it'll have to be grown-up Steven Universe. And then final day, giant radio, giant nerdy radio. It'll in fact be the radio that I have in my logo, except I might put a giant pair of nerd glasses on it. So that's my wife's idea. So, I think that's it. Although, at this point, look, you can do just about anything from, I mean, I just saw, a really cool bit on, Danny Phantom, the artist, Butch Hartman, who did Danny Phantom. He was showing his ideas for the characters from that show, as they'd look all grown up, 10 years of working together, 10 years of hunting ghosts, and how their armor would be updated and the tricks and weapons and stuff that they'd have. It was really cool. I'm like, hey, I could go as grown up Danny Phantom. That would be really cool. You could pick just about anything, but I think those will work. I think those will work for me. I'm good. All right. Oh, now hold on. Let's get back to Nerd Pride Radio. Here we go. All right. Talvin. Talvin says, F, Mary, Kill. Alan Tudyk in Firefly, Alan Tudyk in A Knight's Tale, or Alan Tudyk in Tucker and Dale versus Evil. Okay. I would marry Alan Tudyk And then that question's over. I love Alan Tudyk. I love Alan Tudyk in anything. That guy is awesome. Look, clearly Wash is going to be, if I have the option of Wash in any scenario, I'm going to marry Wash because that's what he's there for. And so that would leave me to, oh man, you know, the Tucker and Dale versus Evil Alan Tudyk, I think that would be my Knight of Passion, and I would kill the Knight's Tale version, although I enjoy all three properties. I'm a sucker for Knight's Tale. I just really, even with the music, even with the whole business, I like an underdog sports movie, and that's what Knight's Tale is, and I really enjoyed it. So, but yeah, that's what I got for that one. Talvin then goes on to say, go to IMDb and do the birthday. FFMKK. All right. So the way the game works here is we do an F, Mary, Kill, but when you go to IMDb and you find out whose birthday it is today, there's always five of them listed. So you have to pick FFMKK. So there you go. And if you don't know what the letters stand for, you're going to have to look it up. I got a 10-year-old here. So let's go to the birthday section.
What do letters stand for?
None of your business. Nice try, though. Oh, my goodness. What a good selection here. All right. I've got Arnie Hammer, or Army Hammer, I'm sorry. Army Hammer from, you know, Lone Ranger and other stuff. But Lone Ranger is what I think of him as. David Fincher. Jack Black. Jennifer Coolidge. Jennifer Coolidge, who I know she's in Two Broke Girls. And I always think of her in Legally Blonde as the friend who worked at the beauty salon. But Jennifer Coolidge, and then Sarah Romer, who looks familiar, but I don't really know who she is. Says she's 32 today. So let's go see who Sarah Romer is. American actress and model, starred as the love interest of Shia LaBeouf in Disturbia. Okay, that makes sense. And she's also been in Grudge 2. TV shows, a bunch of stuff I've never seen. So yeah, really Disturbia is the only thing I've seen her in. Okay, she's cute. I got nothing else for her though. I don't know anything about her. So, all right, let's do this. I am actually going to be super shallow here. I'm going to take Sarah Romer and Armie Hammer, for the romantic three-way. I will marry Jack Black because as much as he is an awful lot of Jack Black all the time, Jack Black, he actually is a decent guy who shares a lot of common interest with me and therefore I think would be a lot of fun to be married to. A little intense at times, a lot intense at times, but I think that's all right, which then means I'm going to kill David Fincher and Jennifer Coolidge to finish this one off. So that's an interesting lineup though, man. All right. What else do we have from Talvin? I'm sure he's got more. Talvin then says, how awesome is DM Darks? Totally awesome, isn't he? Yes, absolutely. I have a shirt that says so. I was just wearing it yesterday. Then Talvin says, do you think the Troubleshooters, that would be our group in Pathfinder that we play, should celebrate with dragon steaks for everyone in Sandpoint? Well, if we had killed the dragon, yeah, we should have. But I have a problem with eating sentient creatures. I think there might be some ethical moral qualms about that all the way around. I mean, just, you know, as a thought. I mean, even the idea of, you know, I know that we had talked about if we defeated the red dragon and, you know, you can use the scales, the hide for armor and shields and use it in magical items and stuff like that. I don't know. I have a problem with using sentient creatures as ingredients for stuff. I know that's kind of an accepted practice in Pathfinder, but as a good person, I don't know. I'm a little squeamish about that. Then Talvin says, who wins today's zombie kill of the day and how? Oh man. I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna have to put some thought into that one. What's the best zombie kill you've ever seen, Noah? You got to pause your game. Get on up here. He's playing some DS here.
Can it count as Enchantress mutants? As technical zombies?
Go ahead, sure.
The time when the... Well, it's a couple of zombies. When Harley Quinn did the elevator beat him up.
Oh, that's true. Look, all right, if you watch Suicide Squad and you watch Harley get stuck in an elevator with a couple of, I don't know, magical minion things, transformed mutant things, and instead imagine that those were zombies, that was pretty cool. I got to tell you, Noah was unbelievably impressed with Harley Quinn in Suicide Squad.
My favorite character.
His favorite character of all time, because she was that awesome. So that's the best I got, though. Thank you, Noah. I'm glad you were here. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had an answer for that question.
That was the best.
Talvin then says, besides cardio and double tap, what are your rules for the zombie apocalypse? Look, I'm going to go... Yeah. Seriously, don't be a hero. Don't be a hero. It says right there. And I know at the end he changed it. He changed it because, you know, he had a girl to impress. But honestly, don't be a hero. Run and hide. There's no winning. There's no winning in this situation. There's no pride in being eaten by a zombie. Honestly, get out. Good Lord. Then Talvin says, once again, I ask, how awesome is DM Darks? Dude, so awesome. Then Talvin, by how much do you think Kaz will miss posting for this episode? Yeah, you know what? It's now been 3.5 hours since I started it. So at least I think 3.5 hours. Let me see. I started at 4:03 and I'm now recording at 7:33. So yeah, 4.5 hours. Exactly. 3.5 hours. I mean, he's got this one. He's got to have this one. I can't see page 2 yet, but it's got to be there. Let's see. Talvin then says, if you were a stone giant and could dual wield any two objects, what would they be? I would be dual wielding pickaxes, I think. I would, I mean, that's pretty scary. You know, maybe a couple of giant pickaxes with a chain in between them so you can even throw one of them and then haul people back to you. Much like one of the villainesses in Kubo and the Two Strings. Oh, she was frightening. Absolutely frightening. But that's where I'd go with that one if I were a stone giant. Stromboli. Open or closed face sandwich. It's neither. It's rolled up and baked. It is a, oh, have you never, oh, people, Stromboli. It is, you get your dough. You add your meats, your cheeses, your spices, your ingredients. You roll it up. All right. Bake it, cut it into pinwheels, nice slices and pinwheel slices, and then you dip it in marinara. You enjoy. Stromboli is not that tough, people. Oh. Talvin then says, what are you planning to do when you retire? Probably a lot of what I do now, except instead of working, I'll play with my grandkids. It's my guess. Maybe travel more. Probably travel more. Yeah, or if I'm zombified by that point, I'll probably just be eating human flesh. I mean, most of the time. You know what? Maybe even if I'm not zombified. I'm not picky. How many roads must a man walk down before you can call him a man? 42. And what about a woman? Also 42. We don't...
No, 400.
Right, we don't have double standards here, Talvin. I know you're a sexist, but seriously, dude, we're all for gender equality here. All right.
Yeah.
Then Talvin says, yeah, except for Noah. Talvin says, using only your voice or mouth, play the national anthem in the style of Jimi Hendrix playing it on the electric guitar. Okay, you ready? All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right, he can't take a hint. God, thank you. Oh, we were interrupted by R2. 71. 71 is from, yeah, you'll get that 15th one. He was so disturbed that we ended on 14 when there should be a 15th one in here to make it a nice round number for him. So 71 is from Mrs. Darks. Have you ever gone swimming in bioluminescent waters? I don't believe I have, but it sounds awesome, doesn't it? Oh, man, I just heard a whole bit. I think it was on No Such Thing as a Fish, in fact, a British podcast about trivia. And they were talking about bioluminescent creatures and bioluminescent waters, and it sounds awesome. It sounds spectacular. But, no, I've never done that. I have gone swimming in the Caribbean. We went swimming off the Cayman Islands, snorkeling, and it was gorgeous. Gorgeous. I can't imagine bioluminescent. That would just be amazing. So, all right. That's the end of that one. Let's go back to Listener Betrayal.
And skip and the guitar.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I really wanted to do that one, too. Oh, this one's from Produce Farmer. Produce Farmer says, "Hey, Micah, no, you got to quit leaning on the table, man. Okay. It keeps shaking and it makes a lot of noise." All right. Says, "Hey, Micah and Noah, how much do you guys like Mafia and Werewolf-style party games? Have you ever played Mafia or Werewolf as a group?"
No.
Yeah. I have never played. Never played. I know how to play. I've seen it played a million times whenever we go to scout camp. Scouts do it all the time, and I've watched it happen, but I've never participated. I need to, but just never done it. And I like them. I think they're fascinating. I have played Secret Hitler, obviously, which is a variant on that exact same setup. So I love it. I love the interplay of it. I love the social interaction, the social bluffing and trying to read people and that kind of stuff. I think it's really, really cool. So, but Produce Farmer continues and says, "Me and my friends just finished a few rounds of One Night Werewolf, and I really appreciate the speed at which it progresses." Cool. I have never heard of One Night Werewolf as opposed to regular werewolf, but cool. I'll look it up. And then he says, "Have a great weekend." Hey, we are already doing that.
No, we aren't.
I'm so sorry. And then, oh, Talvin comes back. Talvin says, "Look at this. I've eaten dinner and still have time to come back and post again. How awesome is DM Darks?" Eh, he's all right. I mean, seriously, if there's nobody else around, you know, I'll hang, whatever. He's usually got beer, so, you know, it's cool. Thank you for laughing at my dumb joke, Noah. Next is from Talvin, and Talvin says, all right, hold on. I'm going to roll down really quick and just see. God darn it. No, there's still no. All right, Kaz is just torturing me now. It has been 3.5 hours and there is no Kaz here. Oh, man. All right. Then I have to revise my answer to my earlier question. It's going to be 5 minutes. All right. The moment I shut this down, 5 minutes later, it's going to be Kaz going, "Oh, dude, I was just getting on. I can't believe I missed it." All right. So, from Talvin, if you ran your own social media app like Twitter, let's say we call it Nerders, how would you address such issues as trolls, arguments about free speech, false reporting people to get them banned? That is a great question, and I don't know, because it's a tough area. I don't, on a social media setup like that, full unedited free speech is just not something I'm interested in being a part of. I mean, as much as I believe in free speech, as much as I've seen free speech work in limited settings, once you get large enough, it becomes really ugly. And so, you know, my kids, my two older ones, really like Reddit, and there's some really good parts of Reddit, but then there's also some really horrific, ugly parts of Reddit as well that I don't want to be the guy in charge of. And I get that Reddit is not a social media app, but it is. You get what I'm talking about. And so I don't know. This would be one of the reasons why I wouldn't start my own social media app, because there would have to be moderation. There would have to be some kind of reporting that, you know, if people are going to report in that this has been done, well, now I'm going to have to actually be able to go out and see it in person to find out whether that's an actual valid complaint or not. I'm going to have moderators who can review that stuff and make a judgment call. But then, yeah, how do you make a judgment call on some things? Some of it's going to be unfair no matter how you do it. I don't like any of it. I really don't. I mean, I enjoy my social media, and I guess the best I can say, not knowing all the details of how to run such a site in the first place, is I would err more on the side of free speech. But there still have to be limits, and there still has to be stuff that gets cleaned up. And I can't give you a more detailed answer than that because I don't know how they run. I mean, they're trying to keep their users happy. They're trying to keep the worst of the hate out, but they're also trying to make money, which is not always in line with their other goals. And so, yeah, I'm really glad to not be in that position, honestly. I'm glad to not be in a position yet where, you know, as much as it would be awesome if I had, you know, 10,000 listeners to this podcast and I had forums that were just teeming with, you know, people that I don't even know. Cause right now I know everybody on the forums and I have a personal relationship with everybody who comes over the forums because we hang out, we talk, we become best friends in the world. That's the whole point. But, you know, if the listenership were to grow and eventually it would get to the point where I don't know everybody and I can't read every single thread and I can't keep track of all the stuff. Yeah, then it would start requiring moderation. It would start requiring, actually, you know, censoring people or limiting people, banning people. I don't want to get to that position. I want to be that successful, but I also don't look forward to the day when I have to put that much effort into the forums. The forums are supposed to be fun and relaxing. You know what I mean? Oh, man. All right. Now I'm bringing myself down. Hold on. Let's move on to a happier question. I'm sure there's one here. And sure enough, stand up and dance like the dancing banana emoji. All right. Hold on. I'm doing it. What? All right. There we go. Ready? Ready? Is it pretty good? Good?
I think I need to videotape it, though.
You would, yeah, you probably should videotape it, but oh, you missed it. All right. My wife will bear witness to the fact that I actually did that. So, Ronster says, what is the nicest thing you have said about your brother Kyle without him hearing it at the time that you said it? Oh, geez, lots of things. I mean, look, I talk about how much I like his podcast. I talk about how much I like his books. I talk about how much I like his kids and his family in general. And that, it's all stuff that he knows I've said because I've also said it in places that he can hear. I've mentioned many times that even when we pretend to feud or even when, you know, we play as a team, we always play good cop, bad cop, and he tends to be the bad cop and I'm the good cop, but that's just the act that we put on. Whereas in real life, he's actually, much more caring and concerned, and he's the one that checks up on people and goes out of his way and, ugh, whatever. I can't be bothered. You people are all such a nuisance. Seriously. So. Ooh, my wife's got something from the last year. Hold on. Yeah, for example, my wife's got a good point. This bit I talk about where my brother actually, yeah, he cares, he watches out for people. We were going through something a few months ago, maybe a year, I can't remember how long ago it was, it doesn't matter. But we were just, things were weird, and we were a little worried about stuff, and it was stuff that I'm not going to go into on the podcast, and I'm not going to share. We hadn't shared with anybody, in fact, and yet, right in the middle of it, my brother calls and goes, yo, bro, how's it going? You just don't seem like yourself. Is everything all right? I mean, he lives, you know, 1,000 miles away in Texas. And his interactions with me are what he hears on the podcast, what he sees on the forums, and, you know, our occasional interactions. But we don't talk as much as we used to. And yet, psychically, it's our twin sense. He just realized that, nah, dude, something wrong. It was very nice of him. It was much appreciated, even though I then said, nah, we're fine. But it was much appreciated. So, it was very cool. And like I say, it's not anything that anyone needs to worry about. It's not like, you know, my marriage was in trouble or that we were going through a bankruptcy or anything like this. So, you know, things, it was something we were worried about and things worked themselves out and we're all fine. So it's cool. Let's see. The next one is from my mother-in-law who says, are you at school with Lisa? Yeah, why don't you call her phone? That is weird. Yes. Okay. All right, that one's done. But that was a text message coming in. Hold on, let me get back to where we left off on listener betrayal. Let's see, who is the better DM, Kyle or yourself? This is from Ronster again. Show your work. I'm going to say me, but only because I'm the only DM I have experience with out of the two of us, because I've never seen him run a campaign. I know he does run campaigns for his kids, and I assume, knowing him, he's really, really good at it. And his kids rave about him. But But I've never actually watched him DM anything that I can remember. So therefore, I got no basis of comparison.
How cool is DM Kyle?
Yeah, how awesome is DM Kyle? Wouldn't know. All right. Lastly, do you like green eggs and ham? Well, all right. Hold on. Now she's calling me. Give me just a second. All right. Which brings us to the next one from Ronster. And Ronster says, do you like green eggs and ham? No, not really. I've tried green eggs and ham, and they taste just like eggs and ham. It's not, you know, any big deal. But the color is disturbing, and I would prefer not to eat them green. So, I mean, I know it's just color, but it gets me. Let's see. Next is from Talvin. Talvin says, wow, I had time for an hour-long phone call with my parents and still get to add more betrayal. Yeah, I know. And you added this an hour and a half ago because I had to take a break. My mother-in-law was here for a while, and then I had to go pick up Eli, took the kids home. We've been all kinds of busy tonight. Had homework to finish up, that kind of thing. So I'm back, and hopefully Kaz is here at the end. I mean, he's had 5.5 hours now. I'm sure this has been enough time, right? Okay. Anyway, Talvin continues, and we're on page 2. That's quite a bit of listener betrayal, and still no Kaz. What kind of car did you first learn to drive? The first car I drove was a Toyota Corolla, 1978, which was also my first car. So that was the one I learned in, and then it was the one that I got when I was 16. The magic about that car was that my dad bought it used for – no, I think he got it new. I can't remember. He paid $3,600 for it when it was brand new.
I didn't know that.
Toyota Corolla? Yeah.
I thought that CRX was
your first. No, the CRX was my second car. So the Toyota Corolla was $3,600 brand new, and then he sold it like 10 years later, more than that even. And 10 years later, he wound up selling it for $3,300, which he thought was an awesome, awesome deal for a car. So that was my first car. Talvin then says, why open the kimono? And he's got open the kimono in quotes. So you're asking me why that phrase in particular? Because when you're opening the kimono, you're revealing things that people don't normally get to see, you know, such as a little inside baseball, a little behind the scenes, how the sausage is made, pulling back the curtain a little bit, that kind of thing. That's why the phrase open the kimono. Yeah, well, yeah, you would be surprised at the amount of sausage making that goes on behind kimonos, honey. So she asks the best questions. So, that's why. If you're asking why would you do that? Well, just because it's entertaining. Okay. Next is from L. All right. Good to hear from L. L says, do you think scientists will find a way to stop the runaway global climate change train before a point of no return? Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. We will find some way to overcome and to fix this. At some point. We'll figure it out. Do you think if they fail, any political solution can succeed? No, I don't think a political solution is viable in any way. I think the only way out of this is science. Political solutions will only, slightly mitigate the problem. That's it. So, no, it's going to require us having some real science to figure this out. L then has another question, says, why are nerdy people cuter than others? Well, okay, let's just establish for a fact that they are, because they are. And why nerdy people are cuter than others, if you want the honest answer, I think it's because you're a nerd, as I am, and thus we find people attractive who we perceive as being similar to ourselves. And so thus I find intelligence and nerdy interests, you know, shared common interests and, you know, perceived. Anyway, I find that attractive. That's how I see myself. And I see in a person like that, I see someone who I have a lot in common with and someone I would enjoy spending time with. And therefore, all other factors of beauty being included, if once you also throw on, you know, a set of glasses or a nerdy t-shirt or some other indicator, that they are nerdish. That just makes them even cuter. So, you know, for what it's worth. Hold on. My phone went black. Let's pull that back up and say, oh, hold on. That's the end of what I've got here. Wait. Oh, God. Does that mean that Kaz did not get in time? I've actually reached the end, finally. Kaz, I can't do any more for you. I don't know what you want from me, Kaz. All right. Maybe next week I'll just leave it open all week long. Nope, that's it. Why are nerdy people cuter than... Oh, man. And we're done. All right, so at the beginning of this thread, I vowed that I wouldn't close this thread until Kaz had posted in it. So does that mean I'm now bound at 5.5 hours to leave this open? And then if he comes in, still include it? Or do I just shut down now and say, sorry, Kaz, you're going to have to catch it next week? Because also at this point, I mean, usually I think he works on Sunday, maybe. Or he's got something going on Sunday that he doesn't get home until generally after I'm done recording, which, you know, lately has been, you know, like 6 o'clock he posts or 6:30 by my time. Man, I don't know if it's now it's 9:30 my time. You know what, Kaz? I tried, dude. I tried. Hold on. Just in case, let me go in. I'm going to find a Podomatic from Kaz, and we'll just read whatever that is. And we'll see. Hold on. Awesome radio, sorting spreadsheets. Oh, you guys love this, don't you? Oh, it makes you hot. I know. Me too. Sort range by, yes, I have a header row. Sort by user. There we go. Sort. There's got to be a bunch of Kaz ones in here, right? Oh, there's enough. Maybe a half dozen. So the first one on the list is... Oh, all right. This is a good one. Of the following, what sweet candy do you eat most often? Runts, gummy bears, Sour Patch Kids, Spree, or Shock Tarts? Of those, I would eat gummy bears more often. Yeah, I don't... That's not my favorite candy. But that would be the one out of those that are available. Yeah, that would be it. I mean, Spree and Shock Tart's pretty darn good. Spree especially. I like a Spree. But, yeah, I don't get them very often. It's never my go-to candy. It's not something I'm going to buy. So, oh, see, but now the next one. Kaz says, what kind of alien are you in the Star Wars universe? I'm sure I've answered that. I think at some point, because Kaz has had a lot of questions that I know I answered, and then they come up again. And I just tried sorting out the list, and I eliminated a bunch of stuff that I know I've answered before. Kaz, I think at some point I actually entered his list twice onto the Podomatic list. I think I got a whole bunch of them from Kaz. I put them all in and then forgot I did it, and I did it again. So I've had doubles of his. Pretty sure that's what happened. So let me see. Yeah, because I know I've answered that one. And, ooh, there's a good one. I haven't tried that one yet. All right, well, we'll save those. We did candy. And, all right, come on, one last time before I close this thing out. Let's see if there's any chance that Kaz is here. Seriously, Kaz, this whole end of the podcast is all about you, man, and I can't believe you didn't show up for it. We're all hiding, waiting to jump out and yell, surprise, and no Kaz. That's so sad. All right, hold on. Okay, this is crazy talk. I went out and I refreshed. I got everything cleared up. There's still nothing from Kaz on my boards. But I go out to Facebook, and right at the moment, they both say 2 hours ago. So it's Facebook. I can't tell an exact time. So, well, maybe I can tell an exact time. Hold on. No, not on my phone. I can't. Shoot. Maybe, I was going to see because I had gone out earlier. I had done all my Facebook ones early on, and then I shut it down with a big old done, and I got out. And apparently... Kaz must have posted his question while I was telling it I was done, because there's a Kaz question here. Go figure. 2 hours ago. 2 hours ago. So Kaz's question is, what's your favorite cookie recipe? I don't know. Mostly I like a good chocolate chip cookie, but without chocolate chips in it. So, you put butterscotch chips in it. I'm good with that. Or even whatever the white chocolate chips are, the vanilla chips, anything that's not a chocolate chip, peanut butter's not as good. But also just plain old chocolate chip cookie with no chocolate chips in it. Not a sugar cookie. I don't like all the sugar. I just like the cookie. Anyway, I don't have a description for it because they don't normally sell cookies like that. But like when you get one of the oversized cookies, like I used to when I was in eighth grade, our school at the cafeteria, you could go out and buy a cookie for like an extra quarter. And my favorite was if I could get a cookie that didn't have a whole lot of chocolate chips in it, and I would eat around the chocolate chips because the cookie itself was the best part. Anyway, that's me. Kaz says, why is it so much better when you know Kyle can't eat them? You know what? did I make a particular joke about that? Oh, yeah. No. It's because, look. You know, Kyle has his gluten thing and his dairy allergy and everything else. I actually feel really bad for Kyle. I mean, not enough that I'm going to stop eating cookies in sympathy with him, you know, nothing like that. But, oh, poor Kyle. Poor Kyle. You know what, Kyle? I bet if you finish that book, your gluten allergy would go away. Yeah, I bet that's what's causing it. Unfinished novel. Yeah. Think on that. All right. Now, oh, thank goodness. There's actually some Kaz here. I just missed it. And you know what? Kaz has been listening to the whole last 30 minutes of this podcast going, dude, but I posted. Dude, I posted. Yeah. Well, okay. I found it finally. So I'm glad I went back and double checked everything. So anyway, now we're done. That's the end of this one. And yes, I know it's been 5.5 hours, but I've only got like 1 hour 15 of recording here because I took a lot of breaks. But you guys have been awesome. Thank you for putting up with me. And I'll see you next week. I love you guys. Have a good week.